just caught the MPs, caught the rich and the riot police, caught the state and caught the war, but then my car got jury, come alive and use your fury. The future will write the history, and we ain't gonna take this no more. Vote of faith and we get what we ask for. This is class war, this is class war. It's what we wear our hoods and our masks for, and we ain't gonna take this no more. Cut the bankers, cut the MPs, cut the rich and the riot police, cut the state and cut the war. Give us no choice but to tear down these streets. Students, workers and unemployed, unite and rise out of the slum. France, Spain, Greece, we're joining you. Finally our time has come. We are fighting back. And we are fucking angry.
And welcome to the Circle Day Show, Resonance FM's weekly slice of anarchy. This is Dunica DeLung filling in once again for Yodette now on a monthly schedule. And that was the King Blues with their anthem to the student movement and the activist community of a couple of years ago. We hope it's still going on, called We Are Fucking Angry. So the Olympics are over. We've got a 2 week gap now before a little bit of sports starts again with the Paralympics. But there's also something else going on at the time, something, a bit of a rebirth of activism that we haven't seen for a while in the ATOS Games. I'm joined in the studio by Andy from Disabled People Against Cuts and Joe from UK Uncut to tell us a bit more about what's going on and what we hope to achieve with this. So first to Andy, what are the ATOS Games?
The ATOS Games are a week of direct action, ceremony and surprises by disabled people and their supporters within the anti-cuts movement, happening from Monday the 27th of August and climaxing on the Friday with the grand finale, the closing ATOS ceremony, in conjunction with UK Uncut.
Why are groups targeting ATOS in particular? The Olympic Games had a number of quite dodgy sponsors, including McDonald's, Coca-Cola, Dow Chemicals. But what's the particular issue with ATOS?
Okay, well, ATOS are a French IT company who are a world partner for the Olympics and the Paralympics since 2002 ongoing. And while being a world partner of this year's Paralympic Games, they are also an agent of the state, basically, in implementing the welfare reform agenda that the political class is really hoisting upon us. They are responsible for assessing millions of disabled people for, in quotes, fitness to work, for their eligibility for various disability benefits.
And I suppose anyone who's been watching this and paying attention to what's been going on will have heard some truly horrific stories about what people have faced in relation to these assessment issues and how ATOS are handling them. Could you give us an idea of some of the things that have been happening?
Absolutely. You know, some of the things is we have a gentleman who is blind, deaf, requires 24-hour support, and is tube-fed through a peg in his stomach who was found fit for work. We have stories of people who have terminal illnesses and being found fit for work and dead within a matter of weeks. We have people throughout the country with mental health issues who have been treated scandalously by this company, and have now won a case in the High Court where they've been granted a judicial review into the practices and processes that this company uses in assessing people with mental health issues.
Joe, I'll bring you in here. Can you tell us why UK and CUD have gotten involved?
Well, we've worked with DPAC before. We've taken action together when we blockaded Oxford Circus in protest against the Welfare Reform Bill, and also when we held the anti-austerity street party on the doorstep of Nick Clegg. Really, DPAC have been kind of leading this resurgence in activism against the government's cuts. And it's really important that all the different activist groups can work together. It's very important that we're united because we're facing such a massive assault from the government.
Some might think that because you're doing this at the same time as the Paralympic Games, that in some way this is targeted at the Games, which, you know, for those in the disabled community can, by some at least, be seen as something that at least puts the focus on the way that disabled people can actually do something and aren't scroungers, as too many people have been saying. How would you react to people saying that you're targeting the Paralympics?
We're no threat to the athletes, the spectators, or the schedule of the Paralympics. And certainly, you know, are no challenge to anybody who wants to participate or watch the games or take part in it in any way they want. Our message is very simple. One of the major sponsors involved in cashing in and piggybacking on the efforts and the sacrifices of many disabled athletes and hoping to shine themselves up and present a cleaner image are at the same time oppressing and have their boot across the necks of disabled people right across this country. And there's no way that we're allowing an opportunity like this to raise awareness, to slip past and go quietly into the night. That's very much what we're not about. What we want to do is take this opportunity to get our key message over, that is that these people are hypocrites. While they're showing you with the left hand what they're doing, at the right hand they're stabbing disabled people in the back. And it is very much a case that they are the targets, they are the people we are going after, and not the games, the athletes, the spectators in any way, shape or form.
I've seen recently that the Prime Minister does seem to be actually trying to use the Paralympics in some kind of political way, and he's attempted to draw a kind of contrast between the athletes in the Paralympics and the scroungers that they've been talking about. What's DPAC's reaction to the Prime Minister?
Number one, it's dull in its predictability. It's not even original. Number two, you know, the comparison that, you know, all disabled people can be as able to, you know, to do what Paralympic athletes do is as ridiculous as everybody should be able to run the 100 metres in less than 10 seconds the same way that Usain Bolt does. You know, the comparisons just, you know, are apples and pears. You know, disabled people are no more able to achieve feats of superhuman ability than the average Joe Blog in the street. And it's offensive to not just disabled people, but to the athletes as well, to be used in such a manner and as a stick to beat other disabled people, which I'm sure they certainly, you know, would not want to choose to be in that position.
And Joe, there was a somewhat major irony at the end of the Olympics when suddenly the government realised that people were noticing that they had planned to cut funding for the athletes in the Olympics, and have recognised that actually to achieve that greatness, the state needs to actually make sure that that's funded, which is pretty much what your message is about absolutely everything.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's ridiculous that the government are trying to kind of claim success from this Olympics at the same time cutting sports grounds for young people in this country. It's incredibly hypocritical. And we see that with a lot of their measures. These cuts aren't helping anyone apart from the super wealthy. And the government really needs to rethink what they're doing. You know, they're taking us in a really awful direction, and a lot of people are suffering because of it. But I think that you know, the government saw this Olympic Games as a real jewel in their crown, and it hasn't proved to be that. It's the kind of vision of Britain that it's presented. You know, putting aside for one moment all the corporate rubbish, is one which the government are really unhappy about, and you know, it gives us a chance to challenge more of their discourse.
Just looking at your both groups, both DPAC and UK and CUT, both of you emerged around the same time as the student movement and came to people's attention by engaging in forms of direct action that we, as the anarchist community, I presume a large number of our audience, really had been hoping we could do, and have been really looking at around at ourselves, at how we could stimulate it. And suddenly from left field came a range of new organisations from people that we hadn't been looking at, doing exactly the kind of things that we liked. And we've seen that those kind of tactics have been adopted not just by anarchist groups like Solidarity Federation and the Wobblies, but also the Right to Work campaign in the Workfare campaign. Do you think that that's a sign of success of UK and CUT, or do you think you've, to a degree, lost the leading step in that and in some ways are being pushed to the sidelines?
I mean, I think it's fantastic that we're seeing groups adopting these tactics. They're very effective, as we've seen. You know, the national conversation around tax avoidance by the super rich has changed, and that's due to the people who were taking direct action. And that's a really important lesson for us, and a message to get out there that protest does work when done, you know, when done intelligently, when targeted well, when creative, and when confrontational. So it's fantastic that different groups are using those tactics. And to be honest, it's fantastic that these other groups are pushing UK and CUT and, you know, taking a lead, because the last thing anyone would ever want is to have one group dominant and being the only one taking action. One of the reasons we were so keen to start UK and CUT so early on after the government announced the cuts was to be a bit of a spark to spur other people to action. And it's exciting to see all these different groups coming out. And we need them all to be active, because the government are attacking us on so many different fronts that we need to have different groups who are kind of thinking through their tactics, thinking through what they're going to do, and are fighting back.
And Andy, the same kind of question to Deepak. You largely grew out of an unwillingness to be lobbied for, and instead an example of disabled people taking charge themselves, and have, I think, amazingly managed to get a level of solidarity from other groups that was missing from a large part of disability activism before DPAC emerged.
The disability movement has a proud history going back, you know, to the middle part of the last century, through UPIUS and on through, Disabled People's Direct Action Network in the 80s and 90s, and now the re-emergence of direct action campaign through DPAC and Black Triangle and other groups. But, you know, I remember a few years ago there was a real dearth of interest in this country in political activity, and, you know, people just didn't care. And I think it's fantastic to see such an emergence of groups. And I think that actually there are no sidelines. I think that actually this is a lateral awakening that actually isn't looking for other people to lead. I think it's about people taking the lead and taking responsibility for themselves. And that doesn't necessarily mean one voice. It means one movement, coordinated, faced in the same direction, and moving, you know, step in step together to apply pressure from every single angle with every, you know, every political tool at our disposal. And I think, you know, that the Disabled People's Movement, and DPAC particularly, have learned lessons from the past and are very much about being proactive in bringing other groups in to support what we do. And I think that, you know, we've come a long way, but there's still a massive, massive job to be done. And I think right across the broad left and the broad anti-cuts movement, there's still needing, you know, for other groups to embrace the idea of supportive work and sharing resources and moving together. You know, we're certainly taking the right steps at the beginning. And I think you can see small green shoots actually starting to emerge now.
The ATOS Games themselves have already, you know, It's not just me talking about them, but I noticed that they're being publicised on the TUC's website. They're getting a lot of attention already. What do you hope DPAC can actually get from the, if it works, the elevated profile that this may bring to the organisation? Where do you want to go next after the ATOS Games?
Well, you know, the one thing that we want to see is more disabled people taking the fight to their, you know, on, upon themselves. What we want to see is more a more aware, more informed movement who are part of fighting back themselves, and part of, you know, the week of games is about building skills of our network of members throughout the country and providing resources and links with other anti-cuts groups around the country. So facilitating that next step of mass movement, of more people to be coming in, as well as raising the awareness of actually what ATOS are doing in basically being part of selling off of state services to privatised companies and a reduction of responsibility by the state for its people and, you know, for the society that created it. And what we want to see is disabled people taking a lead, as we just spoke about, in, you know, what happens next. That's the most important thing, is that we aren't left behind and we aren't asking people, you know, to do on our behalf, that we're there front and centre and part of step in step moving forward together.
And Joe, UK Uncut, you're coming out for the ATOS Games. It's one of the first things in a while that your name has been very specifically attached to. Where next for UK Uncut? Is there a plan, or will it continue to move almost kind of randomly as it has been in the past?
Well, I mean, I hope it'll continue to evolve organically. It's very difficult to like kind of name a plan for UK Uncut, because we're a very broad network. You know, UK Uncut is a name that people can take up at specific times to push the cause. So it's difficult for us to have a grand plan. I think, you know, the change in our tactics from always targeting high street tax dodgers to then looking more at specific government cuts is partly a reflection of the success we've had in the argument of tax avoidance. We've pushed it to the forefront of the political agenda. And now, you know, there are other means to carry on that argument. There's still a long way to go, don't get me wrong, and we need to keep on having that fight, but we're getting somewhere with that. And then as the government kind of moved in their cuts programme away from the arguments they put forward to try and legitimise the cuts, they've now actually started enforcing these cuts. And it's really important the anti-cuts movement isn't still just talking about the ideas behind the cuts, but is actually actively out there on the streets fighting against these cuts. And that's why we were organising protests around the cuts to the NHS. It's why we've been taking direct action against the welfare reform bill, and now we're looking at ATOS. You know, ATOS, this massive multinational corporation, are really spearheading the government's cuts campaign. So it's so important that as activists, as people in this country, we're fighting back and we're taking direct action against them.
Okay, so if people want to get involved either in the organisations or very specifically in the ATOS Games, where should they physically go in 2 weeks' time, and two, where can they go to find out more information, Andy?
Yeah, to find out more information and details as it comes online, you can go to www.dpac.uk.net. The main event in London is Friday the 31st for 12:45 in Triton Square, the ATOS HQ, which is directly opposite Warren Street Underground Station. Bring banners, whistles, bells, your friends, your dinner, as much as you can. Come down and help us for an afternoon of creative, inclusive surprises.
And UK Uncut?
Yeah, I mean, I want to second what Andy said. On the 31st, it's really important that people come out for this action. We want to make it as big and exciting as possible. There'll be lots going on, lots of ways for everyone to be involved, however they feel comfortable. And there definitely will be some exciting surprises. You can keep up to date with everything UK Uncut are doing and be part of that process through our social media channels, so through Facebook, through Twitter. I know not everyone likes to get involved that way, so You can get involved in the UK NCART website. There's a function there where if you sign up, you can then contact other activists in your area through our website, so you can plan your own organising. And the really important thing is we're all getting out and we're getting active and we're getting on the streets.
The interesting thing is we're entering an interesting time. For the past couple of months, the government has had a number of things to hide behind, from royal wedding, the Jubilee, the Olympics. They've run out of things to hide behind. So here's hoping that the Athos Games kick off a whole new wave of activism as we enter the winter. So any last words?
Yeah, here's to hoping that it's a proper winter of discontent, and activists get out there, seize the power, take the moment, and do it themselves.
Absolutely. I think things are really going to start kicking off again now. We've got the Athos Games, and then we're going to be building for the massive action in October. Before that, in September, UK NCART have got HMRC and Goldman Sachs in the court. We're trying to get tax back. And then we've got the student actions. There's going to be a lot going on. So it's time for everyone to get organising, getting creative, and getting active.
Thanks to Andy and Joe. I've got a bit of a plug here for an event on Saturday, Anarchists Against the Wall, a benefit for anti-apartheid activists in Palestine and Israel, will be on this Saturday, 18th of August, 7 p.m. at the Glasshouse in Hackney. If you want more information about that, ring 075-06-731-824 on the day for location. And now to finish up, we'll have a little slice of disabled activism from the 80s. And this is a very interesting example from the history of activism, which is probably the most famous disabled performer of the 80s, who recorded a Rebel Yell song talking about his condition and where he was. And it was banned by the BBC for being offensive. It does pose the question, who exactly was likely to be offended? Here's Ian Jury on the Blockheads with Spasticus Autisticus Live.
Autistic, spasticus, spasticus, autistic, 54 appliances. fingers.